The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
But first, I want to go back to the United States and talk to our dear friend Simon Marks, LBC's US correspondent, up early in Washington. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning, Matt. Always happy to get up early for you.
Oh, you're very kind. My goodness. Actually, be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for. The show starts at 10 o'clock in the morning, which is really early. So anyway, but you've got a busy week coming up, haven't you? Now, there are lots of things to talk about. The first thing I'd like to talk about is this wonderful picture, as wonderful in inverted commas, of President Trump kind of looking to one side, his jacket, of course, not done up, walking towards us in a poster, the title of which is Sanctions Are Coming. And it's got the same lettering as Winter Is Coming, the Game of Thrones finale. He has got a dark sense of humour, doesn't he, somewhere?
Well, somewhere deep within him, either he's got a dark sense of humour or the people around him have got a dark sense of humour. One wonders what the Game of Thrones producers make of this use of their sort of imagery to advance this notion that Donald Trump is a tough guy on the international stage. And that tweet, of course, Matt, came out just as the president was unveiling new sanctions on Iran, or to be more accurate, old sanctions being reimposed on Iran. Because remember, when he pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal a few months ago, there was a deadline set of November for the White House to decide whether to reimpose all the sanctions that had been in place prior to the Iran nuclear agreement being signed. Remember, President Trump insisted it was the worst deal America had ever signed. And indeed, he's reimposing all of the sanctions in what Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says is going to be the toughest sanctions regime ever imposed by the United States on Tehran, although there's some indication that some more hawkish figures within the administration, including National Security Advisor John Bolton, favor even tougher sanctions, and those may be unveiled after we get past next Tuesday's midterm elections.
And is this about the midterm elections? Is this electioneering from Donald Trump? Does that explain the timing of the reimposition of these sanctions, or does he actually believe that the nuclear program and the way it's been curtailed has not worked and therefore needs to be scrapped altogether?
Look, a little bit of both. I mean, the timing was preordained in that there were legal requirements for the administration to decide what to do about these sanctions by November the 5th. But it certainly, from President Trump's perspective, doesn't hurt him, because as he heads into Tuesday's midterm elections, he is very eager to remind the electorate that he has done many of the things that he said he was going to do during the 2016 presidential election, in contrast to his predecessors. And that underscores a very important point here. While these midterm elections are elections that will determine a whole bunch of local races all over the country and the outcome of who controls the United States Senate and the United States House of Representatives, Donald Trump's name is not on the ballot anywhere in America.
But it's on everyone's mind.
Exactly. The White House understands this is a referendum on the Trump presidency.
And what does your gut tell you at the moment, and your head indeed, about which way this race might go?
Well, my gut was so wrong in 2016, I think it's very difficult to make these predictions. I mean, the smart money says the Democrats are going to take control of the House of Representatives, which would put them in a very powerful position, because they would then be in a position where they could, if they wanted to, begin impeachment proceedings against President Trump. Remember, impeachment, under the terms of the Constitution, has to begin in the House of Representatives. So if the Democrats want to make Donald Trump's life if not a misery, certainly deeply inconvenient. They need to win control of the House, and they seem to be on track to do that. The Senate is much more evenly poised. They need, it's 51-49 to the Republicans right now, so they need a net gain of two seats to make it, to put them in a situation where they're in control. There's some much tighter races there, and it's very hard to know the outcome of that. So it could be a split decision, but even by losing control of the House of Representatives, Donald Trump will find it difficult, very difficult, to get much done in the remaining 2 years, which is why many analysts believe you may start hearing a lot more about foreign policy between now and the 2020 election, an area over which he can largely do the things that he wants to do without having to worry about support up on Capitol Hill.
Well, that's good news. So the thing is, I guess previous presidents have been in a similar position where they're suddenly, their party loses the midterm elections, and then you have a kind of logjam of government when it comes to domestic policy. One could say, could one not, that this is actually a fight that Donald Trump might relish, because he loves a good fight. And if he can constantly point to Democrats stopping every bit of legislation in the House of Representatives, he's got his work cut out for the next 2 years.
I think that's absolutely right. Donald Trump desperately needs a new target. When does he thrive? He thrives when he's able to consistently point fingers, as he has done, for example, at Hillary Clinton. Well, you can't really spend the next 2 years talking endlessly about Hillary Clinton, although, interestingly, this week she indicated there might be another presidential run in her ahead.
Oh, please.
He needs a new target. Well, seriously, but he needs a new target.
And he hasn't got one. The Democrats haven't come up with a name that they can rally behind.
Precisely.
And he can rally against.
Exactly. He doesn't know who he's going to be facing off against in 2020. Whoever that person turns out to be will need extraordinarily thick skin just to withstand Donald Trump's Twitter account, never mind Donald Trump's rallies all over the country. So at least in the short term, if the Democrats secure control of the House of Representatives and maybe even the Senate as well, they are going to become Donald Trump's immediate tar baby as he goes on the campaign trail and says to his supporters, who in large numbers are still standing with him, look, the only way we're going to effect real radical conservative Republican change in this country is if we undo the threat that he is already saying is posed by what he calls the radical socialists within the Democratic Party. You and I both wouldn't recognize the vast majority of Democrats here as socialists, much less radical ones, but that is the way that he's painting them.
And tell me, the fact that he's been campaigning, you know, in his electoral base, and he's done tons of really big sort of raucous rallies in all the places, you know, where he needs to get out, you know, Republican voters, the fact that he's using this caravan of 5,000, 6,000 Hondurans and Guatemalans, you know, on the border, he's sending out, you know, sending down US troops, they've become an election prop as well. Does that smack of desperation to you, or is he just being really clever here?
I think you'll have to ask me that question on Wednesday morning. I mean, at the moment, this is Donald Trump doubling down on his base and using this extraordinarily extreme rhetoric on the issue of this caravan, which, by the way, poses absolutely no imminent threat to the United States at all, despite the fact that he's deployed 7,000
US troops. An invasion of potential gardeners, dishwashers and hotel cleaners.
I mean, and an invasion that, even if it happens, won't happen for at least another month and a half. So, I mean, This is laughable, but he's using it to get his base out. The problem with that, many Republican strategists worry, is that he's abandoning the floating voters in the middle that were he, for example, talking instead about the truly fantastic jobs numbers that were published here yesterday, or the strength of the economy, he might be able to bring them across. But, you know, Donald Trump is nothing if not a master of his own strategy. So let's wake up on Wednesday morning, listen to Nick Ferrari, and see if it's paid off.
You're very, very cautious. Just one other one. I can't let you go before asking you this. Early voting in places like Georgia and I think also in the Carolinas is up by something, or Texas is up by 500, 600%. Now, Americans do like to vote early, understandably. But does that tell you that, you know, the Democrats are more organized on this front than the Republicans, or does it go both ways?
I think it goes both ways. It went both ways in 2016. More than 40 million Americans have already cast their votes. That's a lot of Americans that have decided to end the nightmare early and get it all over in their own minds and not have to wake up on Tuesday morning still worrying about it. It does indicate in some states that the Democrats are absolutely determined to stop the Republicans in their tracks, and in other states that Republican supporters of Donald Trump are absolutely desperate to stop those awful radical socialists on the Democratic Party side from securing victory. One knife-edge race, or it looks increasingly like it's a knife-edge race worth watching, is that Senate race down in Texas. Ted Cruz, you remember Lion Ted from the 2016 election?
Lion Ted, that's right.
Lion Ted
now
is
best
up
friends
against
with Donald Trump.
He's up against this firebrand Democrat, Beto O'Rourke. And it's going to be very, very interesting to see the outcome of that race and whether it serves as any kind of bellwether and perhaps lays the ground for, if not Mr. O'Rourke, but for another younger sort of version of Bernie Sanders to come to the fore within the Democratic Party ahead of 2020.
I love those American names. Beto O'Rourke. It could also be called O'Rourke Better. You just never know, do you? Simon Marks, thank you very much. We will be calling you at a very early hour on Wednesday morning. And you've been very carefully hedging your bets, which is the wise thing to do, I think, under the circumstances. Thank you very much, Simon. We are talking also about tuition fees. But for now, it's LBC. I am still Matt Fryer, and the time is very much 11:46.